Hello, this is Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. How are you? This is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Mark Jorgensen is from Southern Utah, which he tells us is a beautiful place.
When I look out my window, I see red cliffs and white cliffs, and it's just actually quite spectacular.
Back in January, Mark and his wife, Jerry, decided to leave their beautiful cliffs and go on a trip. So they took a 15-hour flight to Japan and headed to the harbor, where they saw their new home for the next couple of weeks, a cruise ship.
You know, the size of it is just, they're just huge. I mean, to think that this thing actually floats, it's just amazing.
18 decks, 4 pools, and all-you-can-eat buffets. Mark and his wife, Jerry, climbed aboard, and from there, they were off on a 2-week adventure across parts of Asia.
My favorite stops were Hong Kong and Taiwan. Hong Kong is just an amazing city, and it's just so vibrant and so much going on.
And this cruise ship, maybe you've heard of it.
Well, it's called the Diamond Princess.
Yeah, that Diamond Princess. Unbeknownst to Mark, he was on board what would become an infamous cruise ship, a major hotspot for the coronavirus. The Diamond Princess ended up becoming this accidental experiment, and Mark, an accidental guinea pig. His experience would give scientists some crucial information on how this virus can spread silently. By the way, you're listening to Science Versus, and I'm your host, Wendy Zuckerman. But back to Mark. In the early days of that cruise, Mark never thought this virus would become something he'd have to worry about. When him and his wife boarded the ship towards the end of January, there was news of the outbreak in Wuhan. But Mark was like, whatever.
My mindset, I was like, "What? Why is everybody freaking out about this?" In fact, I actually wrote a Facebook post where I kind of said, "What's the big deal with this coronavirus? I mean, it doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. Why is everybody making such a fuss about it?" As it turns out, karma has a sense of humor, and that one came back to bite me.
So then take me to the moment where it then starts to, karma starts to bite.
When they announced over the intercom that there was a man who got on the ship and was not feeling well, then a couple days later he went and got checked out and he was tested positive for coronavirus.
Mark and his wife, Jerry, found this out the night before they were supposed to leave the cruise, which meant an extra day on the ship so that the Japanese government could see if anyone else was sick. And to the couple, at first, this seemed like kind of a bonus.
We were actually kind of okay. We could stay longer.
Right.
So we just enjoyed ourselves and went to the gym and got lunch. And so it was just another day at sea. And then that's when the big hammer dropped. Was that night at dinner, because during dinner they announced that they had found 10 people that tested positive. And that's the point at which the Japanese Ministry of Health said, okay, no one's getting off the ship and you're going to stay quarantined on the ship for 14 days.
Oof.
These dining rooms are massive and there's hundreds of people in them and noisy, busy environment. But when this was announced, all that just stopped. It was just dead quiet and there were a few gasps and everyone just looking at each other and said, are you kidding me? And that was the big moment.
Everyone was told to stay in their rooms. No more big group meals, no more gym. And the Japanese government started doing tests of people aboard, including Mark and Jerry. And when their test results came back, it turned out that Jerry was actually positive, but Mark's test was negative, which seemed a bit odd to him.
We've been interacting and you know, sleeping next to each other and sharing spoons and straws and whatever. I mean, we were not practicing any social distancing at all.
We didn't even know what social distancing was back then.
No, didn't even know the term, no.
Because Jerry tested positive, she was taken to a quarantine facility back on land. She was feeling kind of crummy, but her symptoms never became serious. Mark, though, as someone who tested negative, he couldn't go with her. He stayed on the ship. A day later, the US government arranged for the US citizens and residents stuck on board to fly back to the States. And this whole evacuation was kind of a mess. Mark was put on this cramped bus for a few hours. Eventually, they boarded this cargo plane that would fly them all back home. But then, just after the plane took off,
they found out that about a dozen people became symptomatic. And they took everyone who was showing symptoms and they sat them in a little screened-off area. It was just a curtain between them and everyone else.
Mark was sitting up the front, a little further away from the sick passengers, but he could still hear them coughing. And since this was a cargo plane, it wasn't designed for passengers. Everyone on the flight, 170 people, were sharing two porta potties.
And they were just disgusting. They just reeked. And you can imagine the full porta. I did have to use it once, and it was one of the most disgusting experiences of my life. And they were just, oh. Because they're like filled up to just like 6 inches below you, you know. It's not like feel like something's going to jump up and grab you. And the people in the back, you can smell it from the back. There's people throwing up from the smell.
Oh.
Yeah, that was just awful.
Mark and some of the other passengers were eventually taken to Travis Air Force Base in California, where the U.S. government told them they had to stay in quarantine before they could go home. And it was at this point that Mark and the rest of the passengers were tested again for the virus.
I get a knock on the door. There's two people there, all decked out in their gear, and two doctors. And they said, yeah, we've got your test results back, and you are positive. And pack your bags, and you're going to the hospital.
So after all that, Mark was now infected. And here's what's kind of bizarre, though. Mark didn't feel sick. In fact, he felt perfectly fine.
Did you have any symptoms at all? Fever, little cough?
No, I had no symptoms at all.
Like, were you expecting symptoms to come at some point?
I kind of was. Yeah, I thought at some point I'll start to feel this. So I was just kind of waiting for that. Waiting for the symptoms to come. They just never did.
Weird.
Very.
So it's almost 2 months ago, and you've never had symptoms.
I've never had symptoms.
So Mark cleared the infection. He eventually tested negative and got out of quarantine. And this means that if he never got tested, he would have never known that he was infected, which makes him think.
I do believe that there's many more people that have had it than we know. But that's what they've got to figure out, isn't it? Is how many are asymptomatic.
So how many people out there are like Mark? They've gotten infected with this virus, but never had any symptoms. New reports are coming out suggesting that maybe a whole lot of people are like this.
Large number of Americans could be walking around with coronavirus and not even know it.
The state's antibody testing program showed nearly 1 in 4 people in New York City tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies.
How many asymptomatic cases are out there and how could they spread it?
That's what we're going to dive into today. And the stakes are high. If there are a bunch of people like Mark walking around not knowing they're sick, does that mean we've got a swarm of silent spreaders on our hands? When it comes to this coronavirus, there's a lot of
weird.
Very.
But then there's science. Science versus silent spreaders is coming up just after the break. Welcome back. Today on the show, silent spreaders. How many people who get infected with this virus don't show any symptoms? And this question really matters because we're learning that some people can spread this virus even when they don't feel sick. They have the virus in their nose and throat and they can be shedding it. So we really need to know how common it is to be asymptomatic. Because when we hear big numbers in the news suggesting that 1 in 4 New Yorkers have had this, it sounds like heaps of people must be walking around with no symptoms. But is that right? So these numbers are coming from a new kind of testing that's being rolled out in the US and other parts of the world, and it's getting a lot of buzz.
Antibody testing.
Antibody test.
Antibody test.
Antibody testing.
Antibody testing.
These tests are looking for, you guessed it, antibodies. We've talked about them on the show before. These are proteins from our immune system. And having antibodies are a sign that your body has, at one point, been exposed to the virus. So, can these antibody tests help us nail down how many people got this virus without getting sick? To find out, we called up Vivek Nurenbhai, a doctor at Mass General Hospital in Boston, who specializes in how viruses affect our immune system.
Hello.
Hi. You're a much wanted expert in this current climate.
Well, I don't think anyone's an expert really, but we're all trying.
Vivek told us that these antibody tests, they're not perfect, but a bigger issue when it comes to using them to know how many people are asymptomatic is that these tests, they can't tell you that on their own. You need to actually ask the people you're testing, have you been feeling sick? And in some studies, like the big one we're hearing about from the New York State government, they're not actually asking people that question. One of the few studies we have on this comes from Vivek's team.
We wanted to get the first glimpse of what was going on, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit about the results.
Vivek's team just finished this study, and it's still going through peer review. And here's what his team did. They went to a small city just outside of Boston called Chelsea, which had been hit really hard by this disease.
Chelsea was bearing a huge brunt of the COVID epidemic. We knew that because in the hospital we were seeing dozens of patients coming in with COVID-19. So because of that, we went to Chelsea and we decided to test 200 people walking down the street on a Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon and see if they had antibodies.
To measure antibodies, Vivek's team uses a little finger prick blood test, kind of how you measure for blood sugar levels. And then they ask the people, in the last 4 weeks, have you had symptoms like coughing, shortness of breath? And here's what Vivek's team found. 63 people in his study had antibodies to this virus. And how many had no symptoms?
So of the people who are antibody positive, 40% had no symptoms whatsoever. So they'd had no symptoms in the last 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So in Vivek's study, 25 people, or around 40% of those with antibodies, said they didn't have symptoms. But don't hang your hat on that 40%, because Vivek's study was small and it's preliminary. Plus, another early study out of France found a totally different number, that less than 20% of the people who had antibodies said they never had symptoms. So why are these numbers so different? Well, we're just so early in this. We basically haven't studied enough people with these antibody tests to get a handle on how many people are truly asymptomatic.
I don't know. I really don't. I think I'd be disingenuous if I said that I know the correct answer here.
Vivek says that eventually these antibody tests might help us get to the bottom of this asymptomatic question. But for now, we need to look elsewhere. We need to go on an adventure. Back to that Diamond Princess cruise ship. The ship that Mark was on. Because this cruise ship gives us some of the best information about asymptomatic people. Yes, I tell you, there hasn't been a ship this important to science since the HMS Beagle. While passengers were going through quite the ordeal on this ship, scientists were all watching this from afar.
A colleague told me to check the news, and specifically related to the Japan cruise ship. And a day later, I was on my way to Japan.
This is Mateusz Plunkinski. He's an epidemiologist with the CDC, and he was deployed as part of the CDC's cruise ship response team. Yeah, the CDC sent this team over to help get the Americans back home. But it quickly became clear that this ship gave scientists an unusual opportunity. There were more than 3,000 passengers and crew on that ship with nothing to do but get tested for coronavirus and answer questions about their symptoms. And that is what happened. Basically, all the passengers on that ship were tested for coronavirus, whether they were sick or not, including Mark, who we heard from at the beginning of the show.
It was definitely one of the first settings in which we had done universal testing, regardless of symptoms.
Now, it turned out that more than 700 people would be positive. So how many of those had no symptoms?
Around half the people that they were coming back with positive tests were asymptomatic at the time of the test.
Half?
Yes.
That's quite high.
Yeah, it is. It is high. So I think at the time it was definitely a surprising finding.
But Mateus says that this 50%, it isn't ship shape. And in fact, it can be deceiving.
But the thing to understand is that there's multiple reasons for having a positive test while asymptomatic.
So for example, Mateus says that people can start to feel sick after the test was done. So they're not actually asymptomatic. They're what's called pre-symptomatic.
And you're not showing symptoms at the time, but you will eventually develop symptoms.
This is a big issue with a lot of the studies that you might have heard about, including one out of Iceland that got a ton of attention. The kind of testing that they're doing in these studies is seeing if someone has pieces of the virus in their body at the moment they're getting tested. And the problem with this is that if you find bits of virus, you could be catching someone at the beginning or end of their illness. You don't know. And if you've got someone at the beginning, they could still go on to get symptoms later. So that means you need to follow people after they've been tested to see if they eventually get sick. And many studies, they don't do this. But Mateus's team did. After the cruise ship travelers were brought back to the States, his team went back and asked them a bunch of questions, like, soon after you were tested, did you have symptoms? So we started with around 50% who seemed to be asymptomatic. Where did we land?
When we administered this questionnaire and actually asked really detailed questions about what symptoms passengers had experienced on board the ship, it turned out that only around 20% were truly asymptomatic while on board the ship.
So that drops the number from 50 to 20%, a pretty big drop. And while Mateus's study just looked at the Americans on the Diamond Princess cruise, other researchers used models to expand this out to the other passengers from other countries. And they got similar figures, estimating that now 18% were truly asymptomatic.
Based on the studies where we've done universal testing, it does look like the majority of individuals will develop some symptoms.
So for now, the evidence suggests that most people who get this virus will go on to get symptoms. And the best study we have, this Diamond Princess study, suggests that the number of people who won't is maybe 20%. A caveat here is that a lot of people on that cruise ship were older folks, the cruise-loving crowd, which means that we don't know if this 20% figure applies across the board. It's possible that the younger, not-so-cruise-loving crowd could be more likely to be asymptomatic. And there is another wrinkle to this story. Research is starting to pop up to suggest that while some asymptomatic people may feel fine, they might not be perfectly healthy. Doctors are noticing that when hospitals actually scan these people's lungs, sometimes they don't look quite normal. Vivek, who we heard from earlier, said, for example, doctors are finding this when people come into the hospital for something else, like, say, a broken arm.
And so you happen to get a chest x-ray as part of that workup, and you see, hold on, there's something going on. They've got pneumonia in their lungs, but they're telling you they've got no symptoms whatsoever.
A few small studies have found this kind of thing. Like one study of 18 asymptomatic patients found 7 of them had gunk in their lungs. So that means even when people don't feel sick, the virus still might be causing trouble in their bodies. All right. So what does this all mean for us now? Well, we are still learning a lot. This virus has thrown us a real curveball with this asymptomatic thing. But that doesn't mean we can't take a swing here. Since we know that people can spread this virus even when they don't feel sick, and we think that it's not rare for asymptomatic people to be wandering around, it means that it is going to be harder to control this virus. And it makes some fundamental stuff that we've been talking about on this show for a while even more important. We need to make sure that people can get tested. We need to make sure that we're tracking down everyone who has this and the people they come in contact with. But with all the unknowns here, one thing is for sure. This virus is going to keep being a huge pain in the ass for a while yet. And now, time for a little NCVC. Today, what happens when a computer tries to make the perfect pop song? What does it sound like? Well, to find out, here's what a team of nerds from Australia did. First, they taught a computer algorithm what pop music was by feeding it samples of songs from this very cheesy but very wonderful European pop music competition called Eurovision. Then, the team taught the computer what lyrics are by giving it a bunch of words from pop songs. Finally, for a bit of a homespun sound, they added into the mix some Aussie noises, like koalas. Yeah, this is what a koala can sound like. The algorithm took those koala sounds and turned it into this jam. And then lyrics were added, which transformed the koala noises and made a brand new song. And humans did intervene a bit. They made sure that the words were in an order that made sense. But here's what came out. Welcome home. Bad, right? And this is all part of a machine learning song competition. So you could actually vote for this song. We'll put a link to the entire song and to the competition in our show notes. That's Science Versus.
Hello.
Hey, Michelle Dang, producer at Science Versus.
Hi, Wendy.
How many citations in this week's episode?
I gotta check. Hold on. All right. We have 80 citations.
80 citations. Mm-hmm. And if people want to see these citations, where should they go?
They can check out the link in our show notes.
Great.
Okay, awesome.
This episode was produced by Michelle Dang with help from me, Wendy Zuckerman, Laura Morris, Rose Rimler, Meryl Horn, and Sanduja Srinivasan. We're edited by Blythe Terrell with help from Caitlin Kenny. Fact-checking by Lexi Krupp. Mix and sound design by Peter Leonard. Music written by Peter Leonard, Marcus Bagala, Emma Munger, and Bobby Lord. A huge thanks to all the researchers we got in touch with for this episode, including Professor Gerardo Chow, Dr. Natalie Dean, Dr. Sandra Utenbogard, and Carolyn Pegram. A special thanks to the Zuckerman family and Joseph Lavelle Wilson. I'm Wendy Zuckerman. I'll fact you next time.